This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
An update. With the results of the day included, now I'm in 15,375,778th place in the bracket challenge. That was going to be a list of how many fantasy teams? 15,375,778th place. That's not great. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to dig out of that. This does not have to be the year of the perfect bracket for me to be in tough there at 39% tile sitting here through a day and change. Sal Capaccio joins me now on the Wester Hotline. Sal, what kind of, you have your own pool with a lot of people in it, I know that. What kind of tournament action do you have otherwise?
Well, I entered in Trista Crick's Survivor, and I screwed up and didn't read the rules. And I thought it was by round, but it's by day. You have to pick every team every day. So then when I realized that, when I went and checked it today, I'm like, oh, I didn't pick a team today? Well, I'll go pick a team tonight. Then I found out that I was shut out as of 12:15 today.
Oh,
so I'm out.
Is that right?
Can't do anything.
Oh, yep. I'm sorry to hear that. Hers was not...
That kind of stinks.
That does kind of stink. Yeah, hers was one that you could... Like, I entered in that one last night, like before the games had all tipped. So I kind of thought maybe that wouldn't be the case, but I guess it is. That's tough.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, because for me, if then that's the case. I don't know why you could enter in last night if that's the case. I'll go back and look, but it said I'm out and because I didn't pick a team for day number two.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, well, that stinks. My buddy is the head football coach at Hornell High School, so they have a little boosters club thing going to raise some money. So I entered his bracket. Haven't checked on that. And then... I am running mine, like you said, and I have another one that a buddy of mine in Florida is doing. So a few just to kind of have some fun and play along, I guess.
That's
but
it.
In the one that I'm doing at CBS Sports, you referenced, there was over 1,000 entries, but 694 actually filled the complete entry out, which is still amazing. 694, and I'm in 255th place. My son Max is in 186th. Yana's in 477th. So he's got me by like 70 spots right now.
Yeah, it doesn't sound so bad for... At this stage of the tournament, have you got a dark horse winning or no? That was tough this year.
No, I think this year was felt a bit chalky. I have Auburn winning it all. Definitely not dark horse. I do have Oregon going to the Final Four though, so that would be a 5 seed and a little more of a sentimental pick there. My brother got his PhD out of the University of Oregon. I visited the campus a couple times, so we like Oregon here in this household. So I kind of gave them some love up there.
Very cool. So I was thinking of you when I thought about the NFL schedule, which is what always happens. Is the schedule before the draft?
No.
After?
Schedule's about a week and a half after the draft now.
Okay. So the Bills have these four home games, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Kansas City, Philadelphia. How about this question? Would you predict none of those games is a 1 o'clock game? I think I would.
Ooh, if you gave me the over under 2.5, I'd say over, But I think saying all four, it's a tough one for me. Yeah, I mean, I could see it. I'd be about 50-50 on that. I think at least three of them are not 1 o'clock games. Maybe one of them sneaks in there as a 1 o'clock game.
Okay. Yeah, one of the four. Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely not Kansas City. That's become, no. You know, every time it's a late game at the earliest. I would think Baltimore would be that this year. And maybe the Bengals, too. I don't know. The Bengals keeping it together there. I feel like they're all just such – what a year at the stadium, right? Like, I know we've talked about this before, but those four games, the division rivals and all the nostalgia that will come with that in the final year of the stadium, and then also the Saints and the Bucks, it's going to be a year unlike any other.
I agree. It's going to be – a year unlike any other, because obviously they're closing the stadium after this year. So we know this is the last year. Hopefully it's not the last game when it comes out as the schedule. Hopefully there's more playoff games. But I think that you have to take that in consideration, that it's possible. It's the last time any of these teams will be playing in the stadium, unless they do come for the playoffs, obviously. And then on top of that, you just have the opponents, right? Which is, it's just a who's who of the best teams in the AFC for sure. And then in the NFC, obviously, the defending Super Bowl champion, the Philadelphia Eagles. So, yeah, this is a really interesting, good, tough slate this year at home.
I thought this was interesting when I thought of it, but then I'm not sure it is, because an easy majority of starting quarterbacks are first-round picks, are former first-round picks. But the Bills in 17 games might have two games against quarterbacks that are not former first-round picks, being Derek Carr, who was early second by the Raiders, and Jalen Hurts. Those are the only two. If the Browns, like, say, go with Pickett, and the Rodgers thing happens in Pittsburgh, pretty much every other team, unless there's injuries, but Justin Fields now with the Jets, every other game will be against a former first-round pick quarterback. Probably.
That's home and away. You're right about that, yeah. Because even if the away teams, Michael Penix, obviously, Bryce Young. So you're right.
Baker.
This is a, yep, no doubt. This is going to be the quarterback schedule as it is right now, pretty daunting. But some of those guys haven't been, you know, Bryce Young, we'll see what you get out of him. You know, Michael Penix, not enough sample size yet. We'll see. C.J. Stroud had a bit of a down year last year. We know that. But you're right. I think looking historically over the last few years, Mike, there's been some years. I remember a couple of years ago, it might have been like one of the talking points was, what quarterbacks did the Bills play? They played all these, you know, lesser quarterbacks. So you get that sometimes, and who knows what happens by the time you actually get to that team and you're playing that team as well.
Right. The offseason to date, Sal, I mean, kind of, it's mostly calmed down here. You still have, like, well, Stephon Diggs, who was visiting New England, Rodgers, who I mentioned. You still have some big names out there, but, you know, and we'll see what the Bills come up with at corner. Eventually here. I'd like to talk about that for a minute as well. The offseason overall, Palmer, Bosa, the other moves about this time last week, we heard about the PED suspensions. How would you sort of summarize what the Bills have been able to do?
It's interesting to me that they've pretty much just been the same on offense except for one trade out. It's Matt Collins out, Joshua Palmer in. That's it. Like, yeah, they did sign Laviska Shenault and Kendrick Green as depth offensive line, Darrington Evans depth running back. But really, that's what it is. I mean, Laviska Shenault is here to return kicks, essentially. Joshua Palmer for Matt Collins. That's all they've done on offense. So we could debate whether that's an upgrade or not. I personally think it's an upgrade for the overall volume of the offense. But Matt Collins, that's not disparaging to Matt Collins, who had some nice games. But I think they're going to use Josh Palmer a lot differently and probably more than they thought they would use Matt Collins last year. But I think that's it on offense. And you could say, well, they were a terrific, terrific offense last year. There's no doubt about it. So they didn't have to make any changes. And look at all these guys coming back. They're all under contract, especially on the offensive line. On the defensive side, I've been surprised, Mike. I thought they would attack defensive line a little earlier and more aggressive than they did. Now, that said, Joey Bosa was certainly very aggressive, right? But let's be honest, it comes down to a trade. It's Von Miller for Joey Bosa on defense at this point. That's what it is. And if you think Joey Bosa is going to stay healthy, it's certainly an upgrade. He's 6 years younger, but that would be the question. Would he be an upgrade at this point of where they were they are in their careers, by the way. But that's the question, obviously. And then, yeah, I'm still wondering what happens at cornerback number two. And you have some guys out there. Now, this impacts what we heard last week about Hoyt and Ogunjobi, you know, there are several defensive tackles of the Bills last year who are still out there who have not signed anywhere, including Austin Johnson, Jordan Phillips, DeJuan Smoot, who can be his outside inside, Quentin Jefferson. So there's still time. Even Brandon Bean said that. Like, there's still time here. You have more free agency. You have the draft. You have more free agency after that. It doesn't stop. So I don't think they're necessarily panicking. We haven't seen that. They're just waiting for some markets to settle here. And I'm sure some of the players are doing the same thing who are out there.
And then there's Rasul Douglas, who I kind of want to guess is right in this boat as well. Maybe hoping to do better. But as the days go by, Sal, for any player, like, you sort of wonder how tepid is the interest in the player by the market. No rush to sign Douglas, evidently. So my guess, I think, is the Bills would take him back at a certain price and that he's trying to beat it. But, you know, another possibility would be that they're just not interested.
Yeah, I thought about that. I don't know. He didn't have quite the 2024 as he did the 2023 in a Bills uniform. We know that. But he's a guy that, you know, he was a full-time regular starter. That was never in question. He had an injury at the end of 2023, but relatively stayed healthy. He's been available. They like that. He is getting a little bit older. He's 31 years old. So, you know, you think about that. You know, when I talked about a trade of Palmer in for Hollins, a trade of Miller out for Bosa in, really what they've done at corner, they've traded Kyrie Elam for Dane Jackson. That's really what they've done. That's all they've done at corner. They've traded Kyrie Elam for Dane Jackson, essentially. That's not good enough outside opposite Christian Benford. Now, I still think, as much as this is right, the conversation and where you've landed about Rasul Douglas is right, and I'm wondering the same thing, Mike, I also think it's really important to wonder what they feel about Jamarcus Ingram. He is a third-year player in their system. Jamarcus Ingram isn't a guy that was like a rookie last year. He's been here for 3 years. And, you know, they've had him here. He's performed well when he's been on the field. He has position flexibility. He's played outside corner. He's played nickel corner. He's played dime safety. I wonder if there's any part of what's going on at One Bills Drive who think, we're going to pencil in Jamarcus Ingram as the starting outside corner. And I'm not sitting here telling you it's a great idea. I think that I'd be even surprised if they do think that. But I wouldn't be totally stunned considering how they develop players and this guy is going into his fourth year.
So let's say that happens, or that plus a draft pick, even if it's round one, pick 30. And the Bills, you know, basically tell you that it's going to be a competition, these two guys. Maybe it's a better fit if it's a second round pick. I don't know. It doesn't matter. How plausible an idea is this, or how good of an idea is this? You're hosting Extra Point, and people want to ask, you know, they want to challenge the Bills on this. Do you think you'd be like, you know, has Ingram been good enough where you'd want to defend that?
I have not seen enough of him to say he is. He has. I like what I've seen. I've always come on here and promoted Jamarcus Ingram as someone that I think can play. This goes back to 2023. I've said with you guys since 2023, I would come on here with you guys and say, man, I really like Jamarcus Ingram. I think he's got a shot to make the team. I think he could push for a spot on the roster. I'd like to see him get a little more opportunity. But that's far different than saying, I think he can play and start 17 games. I haven't seen enough from him to do that, to be confident to say yes. Just knowing, what I like to do is just put myself in their position and say, what do I think they're going to do? And it just hasn't screamed to me that they would do something like that. In fact, I would say they probably, judging by how the Bills generally operate, I think they would have Dane Jackson ahead of him. And to me, that's not good enough. So I guess the answer to Jamarcus Ingram would be, that's not good enough. I would keep the door open for it, though, Mike, because I do like Jamarcus Ingram. I like his skill set. I like his body type, everything about him. I think it's possible he could wind up being a solid starter. I just think that that's really risky to bank on that right now.
If they did draft a corner at 30, would you think he would be the week one starter? Probably.
Yes. I mean, I think at this point, where they are with their team, how close they've been, knowing they don't have a lot of spots to fill, that's one of them. You draft a guy at that spot, I think considering it's like, to me, like one of the only open roster spots on the roster, the starting spots, I would probably put him there. Yeah. And I don't think that's the case with every first round pick, though. If they draft a safety in the first round, I'm not saying that. I know it sounds wild to people. I remember last year, Mike, draft night, day two of draft night, the Bills drafted Cole Bishop. And I wrote and I tweeted, I think Cole Bishop is a, who did I say, a Saran Neal replacement, I think is what I wrote. He's a Saran Neal replacement for now, which is he can get you into certain spots he can play. You're going to put him on the field in certain situations. He's going to be a really solid special teams contributor, but he's not going to be starting. And I'm telling you, I got killed for it by Bills fans because they think if you draft a guy at that spot, he better be a starter or it's a wasted draft pick. It's not the case. This is a far different team than, say, the New England Patriots. It's a far different team than, say, the Carolina Panthers. There are not many spots you can just draft a guy, even at 30, and put him immediately into the starting lineup. But corner would be one of them for me. I think corner is a spot that if you take a guy there, to me, I'm thinking that guy has a very, very legitimate shot to be the starter.
Right. Not only is it not a team with a lot of holes, like you said, but likewise, it's a late pick. So there's a pretty big difference between, you know, Travis Hunter going fourth, say, and Maxwell Hairston as cornerback four, say, going 30th. Sal Capaccio with me for a few more minutes here on the West Her Hotline. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off today. Keon Coleman, Sal, I chatted with Scott Barrett earlier on the show about draft wide receivers and Palmer a little bit and what the Bills have or could want. And, you know, Coleman's name came up. How high are the stakes here with Coleman going into next year? Obviously, first pick of the second round, we know all that. I wonder sort of like what you might think is right to expect from him in year two based on what you know and what you've seen. And, you know, with Shakir signed and with Kincaid and, you know, now Palmer, I wonder what the Bills are really ultimately going to need from Coleman.
I think there's been a bit of an overreaction to the things that have been said, especially by Sean McDermott, which he's been a little bit more, I'd say, critical and harsh of Keon than we've heard him of other people. I think that some have taken a lot of that and maybe think to mean that they're out on him. They're not going to make sure given as much of an opportunity. They want to draft over him, whatever. I don't think that at all. I think Keon Coleman has first dibs here, if that makes sense. I think Keon Coleman is, hey, kid, you're up. Let's go. Let's see what you can do. We draft you in this spot. We talk to you about what we need from you. You got to go out there and show it. Now, it's up to him if he can be that player. I've had a good debate going with Matt Bove on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Matt believes that the Bills very well could draft a wide receiver with their first pick. I do not. I think it would be very surprising to me. I mean, they would have to really, really love a guy and say he's going to be on the field. And I respect Matt for saying it, but my opinion is, look how this team operates normally. Where is that guy as a 30th pick? Unless they trade it up, it's different, into a really good spot. Where is that guy as the 30th pick playing? And the only spot that you would say that he'd really maybe have a chance to go in and play right now is over Keon Coleman. They just signed Joshua Palmer to $8 million a year. Now, Curtis Samuel is also making $8 million. You could say, you know, they're not as high on him. That's fine. He's probably number four, though, on the list. So if you really draft a receiver, you have to believe that you have to believe that Keon Coleman's not going to make that step. I just don't think they believe that. I think they're going to give him every opportunity and believe because of how they operate that Keon Coleman will take that step.
And thus we have today's daily reminder that Curtis Samuel is on the roster and getting good money. And this is a me problem. I'm not saying everybody has to have forgotten about Samuel, but I always do. I just always do. Mm-hmm. And every time I think about the collection at that position, I just like don't even think about Samuel. I mean, he's under contract. It's good money. And there was a little bit of the injury excuse last year. Man, could that really be something at this point? Could they turn to a healthy, presumably, Curtis Samuel and ask him to play like a big-time role?
It depends on what you mean about big time. I do think they had bigger plans for him last year than how it materialized. And that really was, a lot of it was because of the injury. It's not just the injury. It's because of when the injury occurred. It's the same thing with Cole Bishop. In a lot of ways, these guys are the same. Cole Bishop had an injury in training camp, and he hurt his shoulder, and he missed significant time. And Curtis Samuel had an injury at the end of training camp/preseason. It was that week they went down to Pittsburgh, right around that time. because you get injured at that time and then you have to start figuring out what you're doing for the season, then once you get into the season, it's tougher to kind of make up that time. And I just think that's what happened here. It's not just the injuries. I think it's also the timing of the injuries for these guys. I think Curtis Samuel, they had bigger plans for him. Yes, I think they have bigger plans for him again this year. I don't know if we can go to, is he going to be, you know, big time contributor? It's got to be more than it was last year, because right now you're sitting on a, you know, three-year, $24 million deal that has done nothing for you. And I have to believe that they don't just want to be completely divested of that asset as he's sitting on the roster.
Makes sense to me. All right. Big weekend for you coming up.
Got a couple hockey games, Max, and we got one tonight, but we're going to wait to the Bandits game after that. So, yeah, should be fun. And, you know, getting ready for the weather to start turning here. And then another week or so going to the NFL owners meetings. That'll be fun with some of the rules proposals, and always, you know, fun to kind of get into that kind of stuff.
Can we get all the coaches in the picture this year? The coaches have been good. They've been slacking. Last year, like, they weren't all there. Let's see if you can help. I'd appreciate it. See if you can get some of these guys
to sort of
focus up and take the picture.
I'll be like that guy that next to the photographer. Hey, everybody, come on. No, hey, pictures are coming. Round in, over here.
Yeah.
Calling everybody together. Maybe they'll hear my voice and they'll come over.
It's got to be right now, okay, guys? I mean, just do this for us, and then you can go back to your conversation. All right, well, that'll be cool. Enjoy your weekend, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Mike.
Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. Mike Shope here. Bulldog is off through next week. The tournament, it wasn't the best day yesterday, was it? Like, there were really not that many exciting finishes. I liked the Kansas-Arkansas game last night, but really the late window, right, wasn't too exciting, too dramatic. I liked the Baylor game today. That was close and good. Love a guy who, I don't know names, like I don't follow the sport as closely as I would need to, but you hear about these guys who like scored. There was a guy on Arkansas for this, there was a guy on Baylor today for this, a freshman who just sort of play a kind of a mid-role, but they show up in the tournament, 20-plus points, it looks like, feels like they're making everything, make every free throw. Love a guy who can rise to that, especially when they're younger. Just, I am here, I am up to this, and I'm going to do it. And we have a couple of those performances, probably several, so far. Duke way ahead. Colorado State wins. That's not an upset. I saw the word upset on CBS because that's a 12 seed over a 5. They were favored. So upset is the wrong word. Let's get back to the Bills. 803-0550 is the number. Or the Sabres. I haven't gotten into the Sabres scoring on themselves and losing last night. But some of the topics there with Sal. Keon Coleman and Scott Barrett. Rookies, like, would you want the Bills to draft a running back? Would you want them to draft a receiver? Do we all in here maybe instead tend to just go crazy with the wide receiver stuff and maybe, you know, Samuel included in the calculus, maybe you think they're all set? Would love to know. I don't have Bulldog to talk to. 803-0550 if you want to join me. This is Mike Shope on WGR.